This week on It's So Bad, we're adding a Western-themed vertically scrolling shooter to the endless list in Gunsmoke, the arcade and NES game. How are you
Michael,
doing?
Hello. I'm doing well. Excited to talk about this Western shooter. Shoot 'em up.
And you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, Stitcher, Podbean, etc. We're adding this game this week, Gunsmoke, Gun.smoke, to the endless list, which is our list of every game. Currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser. 80 games. This is our 81st game to be added to the endless list. Last week we added Portopia's Serial Murder Case to the endless list as our 80th entry. And this week we're adding our second shooter. Our first, like, real shooter. Our first... First shoot-em-up. Our first shooter was... Space Invaders, but this is our first kind of like scrolling shooter from 1985, I believe, originally released. It came to the Famicom and NES in 88, developed by Capcom, published by Capcom. So we're adding this game at your call. It was your call to add this game. But why did you pick this Gunsmoke?
I think the nostalgia had kind of came over me over the last couple of weeks. This was a game that I played a lot as a kid. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I was kind of I think it was while we were doing like Red Dead Redemption and stuff like that, it kind of made me like think of this game again and busted it out. And I found as I've gotten older, I've randomly become a fan of shmups, and I just remember this being a good one, and so I just dug it up and I was playing it, and I was like, you know, this would be a good little podcast convo, this little Western shooter.
That
was really it.
Yeah, I never knew about this game growing up. It was kind of brought to my attention when I started watching some YouTube clips. I think Pat the NES Punk talked about it once, and like it was on what's that, James and Mike Mondays at one point as well. And I thought it was interesting. It's an interesting concept. It's kind of like a cross between a vertically scrolling shooter and like a game like Commando, which is you don't normally think as a shooter, but it's kind of like a shooter. Did you ever play Commando growing up?
Not growing up, but recently I have.
Or like Ikari Warriors, those types of games?
That's more what I had. Well, on the Master System, I had... when I was a kid, I had the Rambo game that was like very similar to Ikari Warriors. I had that.
Oh yeah,
that was,
yeah. Is that that's a Master System game?
Yeah,
yeah. So this game, just to contextualize it too. So we talked about Space Invaders a few weeks back, maybe like a month and a half ago actually. But the Space Invaders kind of led off this like shoot 'em up genre, and then you had games like Galaxian, Defender, Tempest, and even the game like Robotron. I would say was influenced this game, Robotron 2084. Came out in the early 80s, and then in 82 you had the first vertically scrolling shooter, which was Zevius. Have you ever played Zevius?
No.
So Zevius is like very simple shooter, but the background layer scrolled, and it changed because like all these games before it had like black backgrounds, no real interesting thing to look at in the background aside from the bright colored enemies that you had. But Zevius had like green grass and like blue water flowing. And
oh, okay.
You had to drop bombs and stuff.
Yeah.
So that game came out in 1982. And kind of, it was like a huge, huge game in Japan in particular. I don't think it was very big here. But it kind of touched off the shoot 'em up genre in earnest, what we know today as the shoot 'em up genre. And then you get games in like 85. So we mentioned that this game came out in 85, but right before this game in 84 came out, Capcom made 1942, which was their first shooter. They in 85, you got games that were like Space Harrier, Gradius, Twin B, Commando, which all kind of fit into this genre as well. But yeah, this game came out right in there. Again, we mentioned it was a Capcom release. The guy who made this game, Yoshiki Okamoto, he had a hand in a ton of games. So he directed 1942. He worked on Gyrus as well. You ever play Gyrus on the NES?
No.
It's kind of like Tempest. It's a spin on Tempest, a little bit deeper than I would say Tempest, because Tempest was a rather early game. He also made Time Pilot, which is kind of like Asteroids, but with like real planes, and you had to shoot other planes, but you spun around in that way, and you shot out, and people could come at it all directions to you. It's a different type of shooter, so he had a lot of shooter experience. In 84, he also made a game called Sun, which is a like horizontally scrolling platform shooter, which kind of looks like Mappy, but it's a shooter. So that was a weird game, but it was very popular in Japan as well. But yeah, in 85, he makes Gunsmoke. And do you know what the story behind Gunsmoke is in terms of from the game perspective?
You mean like the in-game story or like the story of the development? Yeah. No. So it's at least what I got from the Nintendo version, which is the only one I'm really familiar with, is it's the Wingate family. Or no, I'm sorry, it's the Wingate gang. I think in the Japanese version, I think they're a family, but in the American version, they're a gang. They come to the town of Hicksville. And they kill the sheriff, and they basically harass the citizens every day. And then bounty hunter Billy Bob and his horse come riding into town. And Billy Bob decides he's going to take this gang down, which is a motley crew of traditional Western outlaws. But, you know, they also have some Native Americans and ninjas and Mexican banditos in their ranks. It's a very, very...
diverse.
Yeah, very diverse gang. I don't know how that really holds up as a family in the Japanese version, but you know, it seems to make more sense as a gang to me.
So it's not the Japanese version. The arcade version has 10 bosses. And the 10 bosses in the arcade version include all of the ones that are in the Nintendo Entertainment System version, but they add a couple. I think they add 5 more. And the last boss is 3 bosses in one, and it's a father and his 2 sons, and that's the Wingate family.
Oh, I see.
And they're not the Wingate family in the arcade version. They're Los Pubro. So it's like a Mexican bandito.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think you said you played a little bit of the arcade one. And when I was playing the Nintendo one, I was like kind of going, I was like, I'm going to guess the arcade version is probably just as hard or maybe like a little bit harder. And I was
it's so much harder. The arcade version is so, the bullets are so much faster in the arcade version.
Oh, just the amount of quarters it would take to get to like the actual end of this game in real life. Like if you're not playing like a Capcom collection or anything like that, I was like, oh boy, this would be like an infuriating arcade game to play.
Yeah, so this game was ported everywhere, I should mention. So arcade, Famicom, NES, but then it was also on the MSX, the Amstrad CPC, ZX Spectrum, IBM PC. But then it was on the Capcom Classics Collection on PS2, the arcade version. It was on a Capcom collection on PS1. It also was on, I think the Capcom Classics Collection came out on Xbox and Saturn as well. Or another collection came out on Saturn. So it's on a lot. You can find the arcade version, at least, on a lot of platforms. The NES version is like, I don't know what it is, but I think in the aughts, in the late 90s, people were like, oh, we got to put the best version of this game, the best looking version of the game on whatever collection we release. When people really wanted to probably play the NES version, because that's what they were more familiar with.
Sure,
So like in the aughts and the late 90s, you always got arcade versions whenever they release these collections. At least now they're doing it where they're putting every version typically on. So if you like buy Neo Geo games on the Switch, you can get like different versions of it, like the Japanese version or the American version. Mm-hmm. But if you buy, like I bought the SNK Classics Collection, and that had you know, NES versions of games and arcade versions of games that you could switch between. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that they're doing that now. But, like, yeah, in the aughts and the late 90s, it was, like, all about providing the best-looking experience mm-hmm. to in their collections. But, yeah, you can find this game everywhere.
It was it was a disk system game on the Famicom, wasn't it?
It was. It had load times. So all Famicom disk system games had... Yeah. Like long load times. But when it came over here, the technology improved such that there were no load times on the American version because it wasn't a disc game. And also, I guess the music is better. And there's like the attract mode in the NES game where it's not in the Japanese version.
Like, yeah, I think, I read like the portraits for the villains were upgraded. Not the in-game sprites, the between level sprites. And I think it, like, none of it was the music better. I think it had a lot more music was added, I think, for the American port.
Right, right. The Wanted posters are awesome. They're great looking. I, like, want them on my wall. They're very cool looking Wanted posters.
I always think the second level boss with the boomerangs was named Cutter or something like that. I keep thinking he's, oh my god, it's the guy from Double Dragon, the big...
Oh, a Bobo. Yeah,
he Abobo, totally, yeah.
Yeah, whenever I see him, I think he looks like exactly like a Bobo. So, in the NES version, you have, let's see here, Fat Man, Wolf Chief, Cutter Boomerang, Ninja. Actually, it's Fat Man Joe, Devil Hawk, and what else do you have? Bandit Bill and Wingate. So those are all bosses in the game. I think there's five bosses. The NES version, I don't know if you know this, but it's like, because it's a Capcom game, they do this all the fucking time. Ghosts and Goblins, you have to beat it twice in order to get the ending. You have to run five levels twice.
I have never successfully beat it once, so working on it.
Or is it five or six levels? I think it's six. Yeah, six levels twice.
It's brutal.
So in the arcade, there are the NES version, you have two buttons, the B and A button. You fire left and right, and if you hit them together, you fire center. In the arcade, there were three buttons. There's left, right, left, center, and right. So in the NES version, you have three different ways you can shoot, so left, right, or center. In the arcade version, you could shoot left, center, right, and then you could shoot left and right at the same time. So essentially, the left and the right button are your arms. So you move your arms out to the left and the right to shoot in those directions in the arcade version.
I was trying to figure out if this was like the earliest instance of a game doing that, having that sort of controlled shooting system. And I couldn't find anything before this. Do you know if it is the first to do it?
It might be. I don't think it really became a thing after this, did it? I can't think of any games after it that did it. It's interesting. It feels very like... flowy, so you can like get into the flow of the game by holding down certain buttons. Just to be upfront with people, when I played this game originally, I tried to play it just by playing it normally, and I was like, this sucks, my thumb hurts. So I turned on the turbo on the B and the A, and it was so much better.
That is probably the hardest thing about this game, because I whenever I play it, I try to play it without using turbo, which, like, halfway through, I'm like, what have I done? Because it's like, you know, this isn't like a gun knack or some other shoot 'em ups where it's like you can just kind of hold down the button and continuously fire. Like, unless you have the machine gun, like, you have to continuously, you know, hammer away at the A and B buttons. And it is exhausting, especially in the later levels where, you know, the screen is going to get really crowded with enemies and bullets. And, like, you're just constantly moving. Yeah. And tapping, and it's like when you finish, like when you die, and you just kind of go, all right, that's enough for me, because that was like a workout for like my hands, and it's just, that's probably like the hardest, that's probably one of the things that makes the game hardest, is just literally the physical wear and tear of it.
Yeah, it seems like it's like artificial difficulty a little bit. But you didn't bring up a good point. The NES version, unlike the arcade version, added weapons. In the arcade version, there were no weapons. It's just you have a gun. So the NES version added a shotgun, a machine gun, a smart bomb, and a magnum. And the machine gun is just the normal shot with a turbo function. So they incorporated that in the game. It's just you had to get pickups, and it was you have limited ammo with all these additional weapons. So the shotgun is like a spread fire, the machine gun is the regular shot with turbo, a smart bomb is like a super shot essentially, and the magnum's like a little bit less than that. So there's also pickups in the pickups in the NES version are much more frequent. So in the arcade, if you get like a speed power up, those are pretty frequent, but not as frequent in the NES game. So you can, if you get the shoes, the boots, you go fat, your character moves a little faster. The rifle increases the distance of the shot, and you can these stacks, so you can add more levels. And then there are, if you go up past the first level, there's cow skulls that will lower your level by one. In the NES version, they added the blue swirl, which is the blue, I believe it's called. They have it. The Yashichi makes you invincible, and the red one gives you an extra life. So, arcade version is the UI in the arcade version is a little bit more intuitive, because in the NES version you have to press select, and then you can see like your inventory and see what your levels are. In the arcade version, on the bottom of the screen, it shows you how many of the boots you've picked up and how many of the rifles you've picked up. So that's a little bit nicer. But yeah. also in the arcade version, in the NES version, the level will keep scrolling unless you pick up a wanted sign, which you can buy or you can just find randomly. And they're always it's not random. They're always in the same location in the level, but they're like secretly. I don't know how you unlock. Do you know how
reveal the wanted poster? Yeah. Have to shoot it like a handful of times. Like when you can hear it, like when you're hitting it. Cause like, it sounds like when you're shooting a crate or a box, it makes the same noise.
Yeah.
And so, but like, it's not like you gotta hit it once. Like you gotta hit it like two or three times.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like, you know, you have to, like, as you play this game, like, you got to memorize what those wanted posters are, because, like, you basically end up having to do the level twice if you end up buying the poster. Because that's what you can do. You can buy the poster from one of the citizens that appears, like, in every, level.
There's a lady and a dude. The dude sells the weapons, and the lady sells a horse, or the wanted poster, or ammo. And I think the horse gives you three extra hits. Just take one hit to kill you. You get three, and then it's an additional one to kill you.
Yeah. Always sad when you lose the horse.
It's fucked up.
The dead horse.
Yeah. Yeah. She just like falls over sideways. It's really sad.
Yeah. I want to think it's the same horse. So he's just sleeping, and he's going to be back in the next level. That's what I want to think of that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the arcade version, the levels don't continue, and you don't need wanted posters. So, so you don't need to find the wanted poster. It just ends after a certain point. But yeah, the arcade version is tough, man. It's not like you just like when you die, you don't start immediately from where you died. You go back to checkpoints. So to get to the checkpoint, it's really difficult.
Yeah, just imagine sitting there with a cup full of quarters, having to pump that. Like, you probably could have bought the arcade cabinet for the amount of quarters it probably would take to beat this game in the arcade.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, what else do we have to say about this game? The bosses are kind of varied. Some of they're interesting. So, like, some of them will fire a spread shot. Some of them will duck down and avoid your shots. The ninja will vanish and then reappear. He's super easy. The ninja is incredibly easy. The bomb guy, what's his name? Fat Man Joe, is he the bomb guy?
Oh, yeah.
He throws bombs at you that explode. The reason why the bosses are difficult is because they have extra enemies that come on screen and fuck with you.
Yeah. It's, I think, so, I mean, like I said, I've never made it to the last level. I've made it to, like, the second to last level. And, yeah. You know, from what I've played, I feel like the second level, the boomerang guy, is probably the hardest, because, like, his boomerangs are so erratic. But then, yeah, like you said, like, on top of, like, him throwing these, like, boomerangs that don't really flow in, like, a path that, like, you would expect boomerangs to fly in, like, there's all these, like, random goons coming all over the screen, shooting at you, just, like, clogging up your lanes even more. I was like, oh my god, it's like, I started using the shotgun a lot more often, and I found that's a lot better than
in the end, for the bosses, I would always switch over to the shotgun, and it helped to clear the screen a bit. I would say it gets kind of cheap, in the third level, they start really appearing behind you.
Yeah.
And you can't shoot fire behind you. And there's like the arc of your shot shoots at an angle so that you have to wait for them to get into the arc of your shot. And it just gets... That is the one that gets super hard. There's like parts on the fourth level where there are like six or seven guys coming up from behind you on the screen and you're just waiting for them to get in front of you. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I feel like every shoot 'em up has that inevitable change where they're going to start cheesing you with guys in the back. It just seems inevitable.
The guys in the arcade, the normal like everyday bad guys that just appear all the time in the arcade version, they fire so much more and their shots are so much faster that the game is so hard. The arcade version is so much more difficult. I had a really hard time getting past the first level in the arcade version.
Yeah, I think it sounds like I would probably recommend people probably play the Nintendo version. It sounds like you're going to have a challenge, a really difficult challenge, but you're going to have a much better time, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, they give you, I think they give you enough to get by, right? So the difficulty curve is not such that it's like you don't get a little bit of enjoyment out of playing the game immediately, right?
Sure.
You can get through the first and second and third level after a little while pretty easily, and then like, you know, difficulty ramps up. I feel like the difficulty curve in this game is very good.
Mm. And do you have unlimited continues or limited continues? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't remember. I'm going to say it's limited because it's an NES game, but I cannot speak to that. But yeah, so this game. What other things do I have to say about this game? So Yoshiki Okamoto, I mentioned that he was part of a lot of games that he made. He would go on to be part of directing Sidearms and Forgotten Worlds, which are more shoot 'em ups that Capcom released. But he was also part of the team that developed Street Fighter II and Final Fight.
Oh, there you go.
He also worked on Resident Evil, and he was a producer on the movie adaptation and its sequel.
Hmm. I wonder where he puts Gunsmoke on his resume, because that's a pretty impressive body of work there.
Well, so a little bit more information. In the early 2000s, he wanted to make a game called SWAT, and he was trying to obtain the intellectual property for like SWAT teams, but that didn't pan out. So he took that concept of what he was going to do in terms of the gameplay, and he changed the motif into a Western motif, and he reimagined that SWAT name as Spaghetti Western Action Team, which he was trying to develop into a game with Capcom, and they got through like some initial designs, and they made a trailer for even E3, and then it got canceled. That game would be bought by Rockstar, and it was intended to be a Gunsmoke spiritual successor, but they renamed it Red Dead Revolver.
Yeah, that's right. Gunsmoke is in the Red Dead universe, loosely.
right. So, yeah. So this game was the progenitor to the Red Dead franchise, which is kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we were going to like be discussing this game, and like we literally just did Red Dead Redemption like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean it's loosely yeah, tied, but it was supposed to be Red Dead Revolver was supposed to be Gunsmoke originally. It was our spiritual successor to Gunsmoke, which if you like look at the character designs, I could definitely see that for Red Dead Revolver. They're all like kind of like goofy Western stuff. And then it got more serious when they made Redemption and Red Dead Redemption 2 especially. So,
what was any like Gunsmoke Easter eggs in the later Red Dead games?
Probably not, because those are Capcom stuff. I wonder if in Revolver they had some Easter eggs, but yeah.
I was also trying to figure out too, is this game called Gun.Smoke to make it clear that it's not tied to the Gunsmoke TV series?
I believe so. Because they definitely couldn't get the rights to Gunsmoke.
So I'm guessing it's Gun.Smoke to go, yeah, it's not the TV series.
I think the dot is supposed to be like a bullet hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess there's, on a collecting standpoint, or from a point of view, there's two labels for the NES. Do you physically own this game on the Nintendo?
I do.
Which one do you have? Do you have the more... I guess for like, I'll call it a little bit more Japanese style art, or do you have the one that's a little bit more westernized?
It seems westernized. I'm looking up the label differences. Oh, I got the one with the big cowboy who's overlapping the box.
Yeah, I guess that's supposed to be the more, I mean, I don't think either one is very rare, but I think the harder one to find is that one.
Not the one with the big head and the red
yeah,
red
That's supposed to be the easier one to find, I guess.
Okay, cool.
But again, I don't think either one's very hard. That's just what I was finding, because I wanted to know if I had the rare one or if I had the common one. It sounds like they're both kind of equal.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't realize there was a label variant on those.
Yeah, a lot of variants in the Nintendo run, which I thought was like random games too. Like Wayne Gretzky's hockey has like a running variant, and like one of the Indiana Jones games has a variant. And I was like, oh.
Blades of Steel has one. We didn't talk about it on that podcast, but there's a red label variant of that.
Oh,
game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yes, we should talk about where this goes on our endless list, which again, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at number 80. This is our 81st game. I mentioned this is our second shoot-em-up, our first like scrolling shoot-em-up. The first was Space Invaders, which is currently our number 35 game on the endless list. But yeah, where does this game go?
Yeah, this is kind of hard to figure out where to kind of put this. I won't lie, I'm looking at the list going like, this is, I'm trying to find, like, comparable games, like, or even, like, other Nintendo games, and try to think, is it better than those Nintendo games? But then I'm like, you know, so, like, Ninja Gaiden's 41, Rampage is 49.
It's not better than Ninja Gaiden, to me, for example.
But then I'm like, is it better than Blades of Steel? Is it better than,
Yeah, there's a big gap between Ninja Gaiden and, like, there's, like, Rampage, and then there's Blades of Steel. And there are 20 games in the middle of there. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know if this game's better than Blades of Steel, personally.
Even from, like, an arcade point of view, is it, I mean, if, so Blades of Steel 62, you know, Tapper is 56, like, is Gunsmoke better arcade game than Tapper? Probably not.
Yeah.
Or, no, I think Tapper is more unique for what it is. Yeah.
I like Tapper more. I think the cabinet design is more interesting. I think I feel like I get more into like the gameplay. There's a good rhythm to the gameplay in Tapper compared to the Gunsmoke. I don't know. That's a good comp.
But I think we both agree that Blades of Steel is probably better. So I feel like Blades of Steel is probably our ceiling.
Yeah.
And looking below Blades of Steel, there's Night Trap,
Pro Wrestling
for the NES, Deja Vu, Paperboy, Portopia. Oh, we bunched up a lot of Nintendo and Famicom games right there.
Yeah. Like looking at everything above Blades of Steel, like Pokemon Snap's a more interesting game than this. I like Godzilla Save the Earth better than this. I think Ashura's Wrath is like a more interesting game than this. Eternal Darkness is pretty interesting. Like that between 60 and or 61 and like to all the way to Tapper are like some pretty like unique games, I would say.
Sure.
This game, I don't think it goes above Blades of Steel, but does it go above Night Trap or Pro Wrestling? It definitely. I think it goes above Portopia. I think it's a.
Oh
better,
yeah, I
better
think it goes
game.
Above Portopia. I think it's better than Paperboy. You know, I'm kind of stuck at like Deja Vu and Pro Wrestling, but a lot of that is kind of personal preference.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd rather play Paperboy over this game.
Yeah. You know, as I kind of said that, I was like, well, Paperboy is a little bit more. You know, you're not. If you're going to play Paperboy, you're not going to go, okay, I'm going to play this for 20, 30 minutes, and then like I'm going to have to like ice my hands because I just had to mash a controller for about 20 minutes straight.
Right. And I also think there's like more diversity in the level design in Paperboy, where this game has, you know, the backgrounds change. The enemies are
well, Paperboy is literally
same.
One street.
Right, but
the enemies change.
The enemies change.
Yes.
You get And they're not like just guys who are shooting at you or shooting multiple bullets at you or jumping. Those are like the three things that happen in Gunsmoke. In Paperboy, you've got like the dude doing the calisthenics on his sidewalk. You got the dude who chases you with a paper. You've got the Grim Reaper comes. You've got the hurricane. You've got the car that goes around in a parallelogram.
You get the weird dog thing, and then the angry lady who comes flying out of her house with the kitchen roller.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the obstacle course at the end. I think there's more diversity in that gameplay than is in Gunsmoke, personally. So I would put this in between Portopia and Paperboy, which is funny because Portopia was last week, and we're gonna add another game that's right next to it. But
listen,
that's okay.
You sold me.
Let's do it. Let's add it as our new number 67 game on the endless list.
All right. Well, you know, hey, Gunsmoke, you know, not bad company to have. You know.
No, and just because you're this low on the list doesn't mean you're a bad game. As we said before, we haven't added a ton of really bad games on this list.
We'll try to work on that.
We are. In the coming weeks, we might add some things that are extremely bad. But we do have some good games coming up the next couple weeks as well.
Yeah, we got some heavy hitters coming up, both on the good end and the bad end of the spectrum.
So I think, like, as I mentioned on most podcasts, like, the bottom three games are probably bad. I think pro wrestling is just kind of mediocre. I think Home Alone's kind of mediocre. Jurassic Park is just straight bad. So
so we'll dig up some more shit.
Yeah, we're getting there. We want to make sure that the top of the list, people aren't looking at it as like, are like, huh, where's this game? Why isn't this game on the list?
Right.
Well, if you have the best games, why isn't this game on the list? So every week we're adding something new, and we've got a few, I would say, there's a couple good games coming up, and there's a mediocre game, and there's a bad game, and there is another mediocre game. So look forward to that. I don't think I'm really selling this podcast, Chris.
Listen, you did a fine job. Real fine job. But, yeah, I mean, you know, so that's that.
Cool.
Off. We're going to hit the dusty trail now.
We started this podcast at high noon, and now we're wrapping it up. But we will be back next week with another episode, we hope. You can find us, as we mentioned, on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. If you would like to email us, itsobadpod@gmail.com is the email address to email us. Our Twitter address is @itsobadpod on the Twitter device, where you can find everything. There's a link to the endless list in the podcast description. If you want to see all 81 games that are currently on the list, you can find it linked there. It's on our Medium page. And yeah, again, as I said, we'll be back next week with another episode. But thanks, Chris, for joining me this week.
Hey, see you, partner.
See you around, partner.